I want you to take your Bible, if you will, to the Gospel of John, chapter 17, and I was going to tell a little story here before I started, but I think I'll just save it and do it tonight, so it'll give me a little bit more time. John, chapter 17, this is the high priestly prayer of Christ. We have the model prayer and the high priestly prayer, and in the prayer, he is praying that the Father would glorify the Son, that the Son might glorify the Father. And then praying for the apostles and all who would believe upon him. And it's simple, and yet it is something that we realize. There are about four things that he prays for that he wants to see in the believer. He said, I'm no longer there. So take your Bible, if you will. You say, what is he wanting? Look at verse number 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Look at verse 6. I have manifested thy name to the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Look at verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Look at verse 11. Now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those that thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Look at verse number 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I've kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition. Now, I want to have just a word of prayer, and then I want to talk about four things that our Lord wants to see in the church as he prayed the high priestly prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for what we have heard this morning. It's been so good, and it's been refreshing to our hearts. And I pray that in the few minutes that we do have here, that you would just help us to be able to bring all of our thoughts into captivity to your will and to the obedience of Christ. Thank you, Father, for the exaltation of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there are the four things that I want to talk about here in a moment. Now, the work of the Lord, as far as that's concerned, our task is a spiritual task, no question about it. It is biblical. It's a faith task, and because human beings are involved in it, there's a human task as well. But the church is characterized by four different things. And I want you to go down to verse number 11, verse number 12. Now I'm no more in the world, these are in the world, so I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those that thou hast given me. Now notice the expression, keep through thy own name. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I've kept. None of them's lost but the son of perdition. I remember on the farm, when I would go away, my mother would say, now, Wendell, remember what our name is. You're a Heller. Now, that didn't sound too good to some people, but what she was saying was, you can reflect in a good way or a bad way on the name. As a Christian, we do the same because we're in the world, and I think the world has a right to observe that there is a definite difference in one who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that the church ought to display that. One of the concerns I had from the very beginning was that there ought to be a unity that is based upon the truth of the Word of God. And I'll deal with that a little bit later on. But that there ought to be a oneness. And not only in the building programs, but in the calling of pastors, it was just almost unanimous. And I don't believe that a pastor should lord it over the church. I don't think that's our responsibility. But he said, blessed are the brethren that dwell together in unity. And he said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, because you have love one for another. So there is a definite responsibility that we have to conduct ourselves in every facet of life in such a way that people observe the difference. And I just had cancer again a month ago, had surgery up here, about 30 stitches, and it's all healed up. But this doctor, and I had talked to him for a number of years, he went to a seminary when he was a young man. And I asked him when he told me that, where do you go to church? And that was over in Fort Myers. He said, I never went to church a day after seminary. I said, you must have been in a liberal seminary that didn't believe the Bible was the Word of God. He said, that's right. But this time when I went, and I told my wife, I said, he sent me over to Dr. Ritter, and after all those years, there have been 256 people who have asked him to help them to know Christ. And he not only did that, but they have been discipling them and trying to get them into good fundamental church. And that was over a period of years. And I was in for my examination. They came to the little room and said, would you come to Dr. Ritter's office? We all meet there and have prayer before we begin the day. We want Christ to be honored and glorified in our lives. I went up to the receptionist and she said to me, Pastor Heller, that man in there is a man of God. When I went into his new offices, I saw his big sign. He said, we are vitally interested in your physical needs, but we are equally concerned about your spiritual needs. And I looked at all of the Bibles and the tracts and the other things. And then when I got back from India this last year, they invited me on Wednesday. He said, I pay them for 2 hours. We have prayer together at noon, and we have Bible study. We want you to come and give a report of what God did. Now, everybody who goes there comes, and they are just amazed. And when they see me, they say, I went to see Dr. Ritter. I can't believe it. When he was done, he said, is it all right if I have a word of prayer with you? And Dr. Ritter said that so many of those are not going to make it. And I would say to them, John, do you know where you're going when you leave this life? And he hesitated and he said, well, I think so. He said, do you mind telling me? His wife was standing right beside him and he said, I think we're going to heaven. And Dr. Ritter said, that's interesting. Do you mind telling me why you think so? And he hesitated again and he said, well, because we're good people. And then Dr. Ritter said, has anybody ever opened the Bible? And he used the very words that I used every time we'd go in. Have you ever had somebody open the Bible and show you how you can know for sure when you die you'd go to heaven? And the man, he said, began to weep. And he said, no, but we would like for you to. And he invited me to go over to one of his sessions on Sunday afternoon, and I just could not believe what I was hearing, and it just threw my heart. Now, the Lord has a right to expect that His children would be walking, first of all, in truth. Keep through thine own name. I've kept them in thy name. Now, the Old Jerusalem Bible translated that, keep those that you have given me true to the name. And what he is saying is, wherever a believer goes, they ought to be seeing lived out in their life the truth of the Word of God. That's why we're told to study to show ourselves approved unto God, rightly dividing the Word of truth. And in all of our attitudes and our action, all that is included in the word conversation before the world, what I am, what I say, what I do, it ought to reflect that Jesus Christ has made a difference in that life. And so, he is saying that the way you treat your wife. People have noticed that I open the door when my wife gets in. And they, one fellow said, well, when I see a man open the door of the car, I always think to myself, it's either a new car or a new wife. And that's a tragedy, but that's the way the world thinks about it. But the attitude toward the wife, the relationship of the wife to her husband, the attitude of children to their parents, the way we respond when we go to work, whether we give a full day honest work. There's so many ways in which we are manifesting the truth of the Word of God in our life. And he is saying that one of the things that he prayed for and he wants to see in the believer is that wherever they go, they will manifest the truth. Now, the major means of the unity of the believer will be their loyalty to God's truth revealed in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the first concern for which the Church of Jesus Christ expressed in the prayer. He made plain his longing that people would be loyal to this revelation and that their unity would be based upon their common faith and faithfulness to the truth of the Word of God. Now, I'll mention a little bit later on this, but that was a big thing. He said, everywhere you go, I want to see the truth being lived out in your life. Now, a lot of time people say, well, I gave him a piece of my mind. But the thing of it is, as a believer, we have no business doing that, you see. I had a man in the church, we'd gone along, if I got a little bit of weight or something like that, he'd say, call me aside and say, Pastor, are you putting on a little bit of weight? And I said, well, I am, but I said, thank you. I know it was not easy for you to say it, and I'll work on it. But you say, well, why would anybody do that? I don't know, but anything that we read about in the Word of God, we ought to, as a believer, follow it. It is a truth of the Word of God, so we ought to follow it. Now, not only did he say, I want to see the truth lived out in the lives of the believers, but the byproduct of knowing the truth and following the truth and walking in the truth is, number two, a transformed life. And you'll notice, if you will, in verses 14 through 16, and I'm going to read it here just a minute, 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil, or the evil one. They're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify, or set them apart through the truth. Verse 17, thy word is the truth. Now, if we walk in the truth, and the world sees a truth, the byproduct is that our lives are going to be transformed. And by the way, through the years, I noticed that if I began to be, well, disturbed because my thoughts, my attitudes were not what they ought to be, I said to my wife, I've got to take time, because you can get busy in a pastorate, I'll tell you, and especially as church is growing, you can get busy, but you got to take time with the Word of God, because the Word of God has a sanctifying effect upon our life. And so he said, Jesus prayed that the Father would keep his people not only true to his name, but from the evil one. Their lives would be transformed, preserved from error and kept in truth, preserved from evil, kept in holiness. Christ's concern was neither withdrawal from the world, nor was it conformity to the world. The medieval hermits and that fled to the desert in the 4th century, they developed a medieval monasticism. Now, quite honestly, their withdrawal in that way from the world was a betrayal of Christ. The Pharisees and the Essenes withdrew, took refuge in the desert communities. The Sadducees, for them it was conformity. Now, while Jesus Christ was the friend of sinners, he was also set apart from sinners. In his values, in his standards, we're to remain in the world as a believer, but not be of the world. That is, neither belonging to it nor imitating its ways. We are to stay in and we are to stand firm. So, if we follow the truth, the byproduct is there'll be a transformed life. If there's a transformed life, number three, we'll have a testimony. And I want you to look, if you will, at verse number 18. Jesus said, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. So what he was saying is that if we follow the truth, it will transform our life, and it will allow us to have a testimony before the world. And I use some of the illustrations from my father's life and my mother's life. I mentioned last Sunday at the church, I stopped at a little restaurant about 20 miles from my father and mother's home, late in their life, and there were two young ladies that came and waited on me, and I began to talk to them, and I asked them if they'd ever turned from their sin to Christ and truly trusted Christ. Oh, yes, they said, we're saved. And I was a little surprised that they used the word. And they went about their business. When I was ready to go, they said, "By the way, where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to Bern, Indiana." They said, "Do you know Lauren and Florence Heller?" I said, "Yes, that's my parents." And they said, "Your parents led our entire family to Jesus Christ." And I said, "Would you tell me?" Said, "We moved in the farm about a mile down the road. First week we moved in, your mother baked a beautiful cake and brought it over and said, 'We're so glad to have you as one of our neighbors. We're glad that you're here.'" And mother appreciated, of course. Said 2 weeks later, she came back with a pie she had cooked, or baked, I guess they call it. I don't know. Anyway, and she gave them the pie. And when she was there, she said, "I couldn't help but notice the little girls and all, and I'm a Sunday school teacher at a church just a mile and a half down the road. Would it be all right with you if I would pick the girls up and take them to Sunday school with me?" And over a period of time, every one of those children came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and they got so excited about it, they went home and they said, "Mom, you've got to come. You've got to come. They've helped us to know Jesus Christ as our Savior." And the mother went, and the mother was saved. And I think my father led the husband to the Lord last. And it was a blessing to my heart. And just a couple of days before she died, mother said, "Oh my, I'm going to have to give an account to the Lord, but I haven't been able to get out and witness to the neighbors like I should." Well, she was hardly able to do anything anymore. And it was just a couple of days later that she died. But a transformed life. And it gave a testimony. And the people in community knew that my father was an honest man. And that my mother was an honest person and a loving person. And she had a concern for the souls of men. Now, Jesus prayed that wherever they would go, they would live out the truth of the Word of God. People would see it. Their lives, as a result of that truth, would be transformed. And because they had a life that was different from the world, there was a testimony, and people would say, "I wish I had what they have." You see. Now, fifteen times the word "world" is mentioned in Jesus' prayer. "Given to him out of the world," verse 6, "not taken out of it," verse 15. "Still living in the world," verse 11. "Not to be of the world," verse 14. "Hated by the world," verse 14a. "Sent into the world," verse 18. Now, if we withdraw from the world, a ministry, we lose our contact with it, that ministry would be impossible. If we conform to the world, then the ministry is impossible, since we've lost our cutting edge. It's possible to live in the world without having a ministry to the world. But we are sanctified by the word, or separated from evil in all of its form. But to be sanctified is to be set apart unto a particular ministry. And here he says, "I'm sending you in the world so that you can have a ministry." Now, I believe with all my heart that the doctor that dealt with me, and I'll tell you why. I've been three times to him, and I told my wife, I went in, and he just started asking questions about the Bible. "Where are you going? Are you still preaching?" I said, "Yes." He went on and on and on. And then when I was ready to go, he shook my hand. He said, "Thank you for talking to me." The little girl that had been a Jehovah's Witness left the Jehovah's Witness and was ostracized by the entire family and by all of those that were Jehovah's Witnesses. And I said, "There's a wonderful Baptist church that's very close to where you live. And my wife and I would love to introduce you to the pastor. It'd be so good for you as your family to go there to the church." And she said, I would love that. I would love that, because she just didn't know what to believe at all. When I went back for the operation, he put the stuff over my face, and the nurse and he were pushing so hard in my face. I said, "There's no pain, but I'll tell you, I'm going to be black and blue when you get done." And I was. But he said, "Please keep talking to me, if you will, while I do the operation. It will not distract me." I said, "Are you sure? I have to stand in front of people." "No," he said, "it won't distract me, but please talk to me." I went back the third time a week later to see the progress, and he came in again. And he said, I want to thank you for talking to me. And I said, do you have much time today? He said, my schedule is so heavy today. But I want to tell you, if you are preaching in a church over here, I want you to call me. I am coming to hear you, and I'm bringing our nurses along to hear you as well. Now, that's God's doing. That's not Wendell Heller. That's God's doing. And he is saying that I want you to have a ministry of the world. Now, the fourth thing he prayed about, and we hear a lot about it. In fact, there was a camp that had about 200 adults. They had to be 55 and older. And they called the Fundamental Church, where I go, and they said, would you have a pastor or anybody there that would come and would speak to us on Sunday morning? We have an organist. We sing the old hymns. Everybody's old. All the special numbers were old numbers, but it's not a church. They just met there for a couple of months, and then they go back north. And he said, would you be willing to do it? I said, I'd be willing to do it. He said, well, you need to call this man. I called the man, and he said to me, now, do I have till 2:30? Well, I want to stay on time. I'm not sure. Okay. I'm almost done, though, so. All right. But he said to me, now, what was I talking about? I got off of that. What is that? Oh, okay. All right. All right. I know where I am now. All right. Thank you very much. I'm 82, though, so you can forgive that. But anyway, he wanted to know if it would, said call, and I called a man, and here's what he said to me. Now, he didn't know me from Adam, and I'm sure he was scared of me. He said, we'd love to have you, but don't preach over 15 minutes. And I told my wife, I said, he's scared of me. We'll go early, and I'll get acquainted with him. And I went there and sat down, talked to him a little bit, and I said, you know, I haven't preached. I don't know that I've ever preached just 15 minutes, but I said, would it bother you if I took 5 minutes to get acquainted with these folks? They don't know me from Adam, and I don't know them. No, he said, that would be fine. And I told my wife, I know the illustration I'm going to use, because he made the statement, this is a very ecumenical group, and by that he meant they're from every kind of background in the world. So I said, now, in the high priestly prayer of Christ, he prayed that they would be one even as we are one. And a lot of people have the idea that if we could get all the denominations together, we would have fulfilled the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I said, in reality, is saying that the unity will come as a result of our adherence to the truth of the Word of God. Now, I said, I'm going to illustrate what I'm talking about. Years ago, Billy Sunday was in Duluth, Minnesota, and while he was there, a Jew was run over in an iron mine. They took him to Catholic hospital where an Episcopal doctor cut off his leg. A Presbyterian woman there, feeling sorry for him, wrote to Dr. Barton, who's running a congregational paper in Chicago, asking him if he would advertise, asking someone to donate a wooden leg to this Jew in the Catholic hospital whose leg had been cut off by an Episcopal doctor. A Methodist woman from River Forest, Illinois, read the ad in the congregational paper. Her husband, who had been a Baptist and was now dead, had had a wooden leg. They called the Salvation Army captain, asked him to come over and pick up her Baptist husband's wooden leg. They took it down to a Lutheran Express office, gave it to an evangelical nurse, and when she took it down to the Catholic hospital and strapped it on this Jew, they declared he had become a United Brethren. Now, the 200 people just roared, and the man in charge just says, go ahead, just go ahead, just preach whatever you want to. So, for 4 years now, and I've had that opportunity, and I tell you what, they said almost half of them are unbelievers. And I told my wife, I am going to preach on Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask a question. I'm going to bring a message that answers that question. And they come afterwards and they say, I don't have assurance. I don't know that I'm going to go to heaven. I said, I'm only 4 or 5 miles from you. If you'll allow me to come to your home and could give me an hour, we'll sit down with the Bible and I'll show you how the Bible says you can know if you died, go to heaven. Now, it's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. But the world's idea of unity is all off. And I so much appreciated Dr. Oates this morning. And I'm encouraged by the fact that, is it all right to say that you're working on something? All right, because I sure want to get it. That was a blessing to my heart. All of the messages blessed my heart. But it was such a needy thing and such a critical thing in the age in which we live. Now, let me just review and I'm done. The high priestly prayer of Christ. Keep them true to the name that is above every name. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. And he said, wherever my children go, whether in the home, on the playground, at the business, wherever they are, they conduct themselves, they talk like, they act like, they react like born-again believers. The truth should be manifested through their lives. That truth will transform. It has a sanctifying effect. And to the extent that our lives are different from those of the world or those who sometimes say, well, we're a Christian, but they're not living like Christians live. To that effect, to the extent that they are separated or different, the transformation that comes as a result of the truth will allow them to have a testimony. And the Lord wants them to have a testimony to the world. And what our Lord said for those who are believers, he wanted that true unity. And it's not based on organization. It is based on our loyalty, our fidelity to the truth of the Word of God. Now we have a wonderful opportunity. And it may seem simple. But in that high priestly prayer, he at least gives us a guideline as to how, in building our churches, why it is important that we faithfully expose them to the Word of God. That we allow the Spirit of God to do His work in transforming, molding, fashioning them after Christ. And how that allows them to have a testimony. One closing remark. 1 minute. We had a ministry to cancer patients. A lady wanted to be a missionary from our church. She spent all of her life going to families who had someone's dying with cancer. We had a lady on the street and Nell Collins said to me, Pastor Heller, would you be willing to go and visit that family? The man is an unbeliever. I went to the door and I mean, he literally almost slammed the door. He didn't want anything to do with it. When his wife had cancer, we had a godly lady from the church who went every week. She would help clean. She'd do some cooking and she always would read the Bible and then she would talk to her about the Lord Jesus Christ. And after a number of weeks, that dear lady asked the Lord to forgive her of her sin and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be her Savior. Her life was so different. And Nell Collins said to me, Pastor, maybe it's time to go back again. I went back, and I'll be honest with you, I was a little bit nervous, because I knew what he did the time before, and I said, and I named the name of the lady and that was helping his wife, and I said, I am her pastor, and he opened the door. He said, I hope you know that lady is an angel. If you'll come in, I'll listen to whatever you got to say. Now the world's looking for someone whose life demonstrates that the claims that they make are reality. Let's ask God to help us to fulfill what he prayed for.